Yeah, man.
Wagwan. Wagwan, youth.
Lord of mercy.
What's up, what's up?
What shall I say? Sac passé.
You know what I'm saying?
Sac passé.
La boule.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I know some more stuff. We're going to get into it later.
Okay,
but
shoot.
Listen.
Come on.
They call me the Big Zoe.
The Big Zoe.
Because it's DJ Anzo.
The Big Zoe. I see what you did there.
Think about it.
Anzo.
Think about it.
I see what you did there.
Come on now.
Yes. Clever people.
Episode 4.
Yes.
Boys Quatros. Back.
Quatros.
How you say 4 in Creole?
Cat.
Come on, it's French,
my
guy.
Because French speaks the Francais. You know what I'm saying? Listen now, welcome back, y'all. It's episode 4. Co-host DJ Anzo over
yes,
here.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ivan.
Yes.
With himself, the world be known.
Hmm. Young Money Baji.
Young Money. Millionaire.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Come on, guys. Stop this.
What's up, man?
Man, we out here, fam. Boys got a...
We got a guest.
Come on.
We got a guest.
Come on.
Not just any guest, though.
Shush, man. This is the man, the myth, the legend.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
CP himself.
Man like CP himself.
Let's welcome. Chris
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome
yes,
to the show. Yes, welcome to the show.
You know? Welcome to the show.
For those who don't know...
We have to do the drill.
Yeah.
Oh, the introductions.
Yeah, you know the intro.
You know the standard drill?
Yeah, standard intro. All right, yeah. So first of all, thank you guys for having me on the show.
Of course,
you know?
Of course.
I'm a big fan. Been listening from day one.
He has been.
Thanks. So yeah, my name is Christian Pierre. Born and raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Mm. So man's is from the Caribbean, from the islands.
From the islands.
As we like to call it, you know. Mm-hmm. Man's grew up surrounded by water. So yeah, born and raised there. Moved to Florida in high school. I went to college in Daytona with Ibrahima. And yeah, now man's lives in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. This is my brother right here, y'all.
Yes, sir.
And Chris, what do you say and how do you say in Creole? Welcome. Is this bienvenue? Like, how do you say?
Yeah, you can say bienvenue, which is French.
Bienvenue.
There's no real like Creole word to say welcome. So you just say bienvenue.
Bienvenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, bienvenue. Mon ami.
Oui.
Nah, bro, but welcome to the pub, man.
Yes. Sure.
We got a lot to talk about today, but in case you didn't know, it's around the brotherhood, around, you know.
Yes.
The islands.
Yes.
And the motherland.
Yes.
You know, Caribbeans and Africans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'll say first, the islands have had such a profound effect on the continent.
Big time.
When you come to East Africa, everyone's bumping reggae dancehall.
Yeah.
Zouk.
You come know what I'm on, saying? Fam.
Yeah.
It's bashment. All that, bro.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
The islands have had such a profound effect on our continent.
On our culture.
Yeah. The whole entire culture.
The whole culture.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate it, man. Thank you guys for giving us Kalonji.
Yeah.
Come on. You know.
It's crazy, bro.
It is like, crazy. Yeah. You said the same thing for us. I mean, for me growing up, Gambia, you know, it was all island music. No one was really listening to Afro beats like that back then growing up, you know, until like 08, 09.
Yeah.
Until Doomy. You know, until Doomy, you know, by P Square. But before that, still though, all over.
Mm-hmm.
Prevalent. You know, I remember uncles all over the place. It's just bumping Caribbean music. So profound. People, they speak Patois and they've never been to
it. They've never stepped a foot.
They swear they're Rasta man, fam.
What's his name? Stoneboy. I don't know if he had been to Jamaica or somewhere before, but this guy speaks fluent Patois. And I was like, what's going on, big man?
Jeez, you know? Never know, fam. But
Chris, tell us about Haiti. Like, Haiti like?
Yeah. We want to know more about Haiti, basically.
All right. So, more about Haiti. Haiti, I think we're proud people, man. I think our culture is really unique. In fact, that we're like a French-speaking country.
Yeah.
And like a lot of Caribbean countries are like more English-speaking. We're pretty unique. We're proud people. I know we've suffered a lot. We've long suffered. But it's great, man. You know, beautiful beaches. Great, lots of great, nice spots to see. You see a lot of stuff in the news, like always, and pictures, but it's not always great. But I think, you know, it's really nice out there.
Boys now, Haiti was also the first freed...
First free black nation?
Black nation, right?
Yes, that's sir. That's the first thing I always knew about Haiti. Yes, sir. It was in our history books, right? The the revolution they had and being the first, you know, in the, what, 18th century?
1804.
January 1st, my goodness.
1804.
You know?
Beat the French. They said, come here and
taste 1804.
Yep. First successful slave revolution, too. So that's a big source of pride for us.
So what happened there?
What happened there? So pretty much, you know, slaves wanted to be independent. At the time, we were the most profitable colony for France. Mm-hmm. And the French Revolution was actually happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very complicated, complex history that I learned a long time ago. But yeah, pretty much slaves got up and revolted, wanted to be independent. We also had, there were French colonizers in the island who also wanted to separate from France, because they weren't being treated the same way as French citizens were. So yeah, so it ended up being a successful slave revolution because the French Revolution was going on at the same time. So that was a big help for us.
Yeah, so they didn't have enough manpower there.
Yeah, not really.
Not to take away from our Haitian brothers.
Right, no, of course. Because
they were going to do the thing regardless.
Come on, fam.
But that did play a part, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I got a quick question for y'all, though.
Oh,
I asked Eid this the other day, but I've actually heard a lot of arguments that, you know, being the first successful slave, the first independent nation hurt us in the long run because of where we are now in terms of progress and the progress we've made. I mean, what do you guys think of that opinion that I've seen people throw out there? That if we had stayed colonized a little bit longer, we'd be further ahead today.
What does that even mean?
Well, no, I understand what he's saying. You know, is because let's say in Africa, right? Let's take the Africa case. Most African nations gained independence in the 1960s, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably for the better part of since when Haiti did, you know, Africans were under colony rule, and they set up those frameworks, institutions, government, and all of those structures, which when they left, they never... Africans never had a chance to actually now run those countries independently.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to a succession of military, political instability, basically. So if Chris is asking us that, imagine that happened for Africans in the 1950s and 60s. Imagine that for them, it was 1801. Because there's always a downside to it, right? I swear, you know, there are some old heads or even people from our parents' generation who swear that colonialism was good for us because there was structure, or, you know, there's some people who think like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, in some sense, there was more structure, and which I still think is not, it should never be an option. But still, though, there's a other side of the story to it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's asking us that, do we think that...
I think that... I don't think so. So number one is because you compare something like Zimbabwe, you know, where they were left all the structures, right?
Till 1980-something, that's when they gained independence, right?
But today, you know, there was a time where the inflation was so bad, you were buying a loaf of bread for like 1 million Zimbabwean dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we're talking like to scale for economy, I don't think I agree with that. I think it was just unfortunate that not enough... black nations had that independence at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good
because
point.
It made it hard for like Haiti to be self-sustainable. That's like the educated guess I can make on it. Because if you can't have like a fair trade system, you know, with other nations.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of left with like a structure you're not familiar with and like supposed to keep up with the rest of the world, it becomes increasingly difficult.
It's actually, you know, almost a bad cliche, like they were left on an island,
pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
But also to what Chris is saying, though, what African country, you know, post-colonialism, maybe I can, thrived or was able to go to a period of prosperity, economic prosperity for their people?
You mean like immediately?
No, I'm
post
saying,
or
let's look
now?
At it. Let's look at just in Africa, when the colonialists left and gave powers to the nationalists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just look at the following 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
What African country can we pinpoint and say, yes, they actually thrived, or they, you know, there was prosperity and not political instability?
You see,
civil
I think,
war, coup d'etats.
I think because of even the way the nations were left, it didn't allow for that. So
there was none. There's none that I can think of top of my head.
Well, you can make the argument for, besides the genocide, Rwanda, right?
Rwanda?
Yeah, because you go there today, it's
okay,
top notch. Yeah. South Africa, but then again, yeah, it's...
That one. It's the South Africa case, Ivan, yeah, right? Chris is saying the South Africa thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much is it that they were under apartheid and under the rule of the Dutch, and now they're one of the, well, we could say they're the most economically powerful country in Africa. You could say that, or Nigeria.
Powerful, I'd say probably Nigeria.
Nigeria? Okay, but let's just say South Africa's up there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of development as a country as a whole.
But we're also trying to measure the growth of these countries, which are so young. They're not even 100 years old.
No, I'm not.
Against others that
are
hundreds of years old.
That's true, but it's just what I'm just trying to understand if to what Chris's question is, and now I'm just using South Africa as a case study here, is that they were one of the much later countries in Africa to finally have the actual people who, the natives or people actually from that country to rule the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we see South Africa is far developed than most other African countries.
Mm-hmm.
So to Chris's question, is that because they were under, European rule more or less for so long?
Man,
that's a tough question for me to answer. I feel like there's not a yes or no to that one.
Yeah, it is, but my pride won't let me say anything else than it wasn't our idea of development to begin with, right? So the standard in which even development is measured today is a westernized idea. So it's like, oh, do you guys have good social services? Oh, do you guys have like equal or free whatever standard of education or whatever standard of infrastructure, which it's skews to the West, where you see a lot of like the Nordic countries being the ones who are considered the happiest or the most developed. So it's a heavy-ended question. We cannot dissect this one today.
Yeah, guys, that's a question that we do not... We ain't got the answers for
it. I'm sorry. Because so Haitians, Caribbeans, I don't know how to phrase it, but do you think there is any divide between Haitians and Africans?
Within the Haitian Caribbean people and African people divide?
Divides?
Yeah.
What do you mean by divide?
So like, maybe from like a historical context. So when you identify as Haitian, right?
Yeah.
Is that like your endpoint, or do you also like to think, well, really I'm African?
Well, I personally think really I'm African, but I can't say that's everybody.
Yeah.
That's everybody from the Caribbean. Different people are going to have different perspectives, different opinions. And I think we're the Western culture. We're very, very, we have a very heavy Western influence, not just in Haiti, but throughout the entire Caribbean. So I don't think everybody would have that same answer, to be honest.
Okay.
Well, and I just wanted to also note to that is because you Caribbean people, they look just like us.
Yeah.
Of course, because they're African.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to know in Haiti, and I know you can't speak for the whole of Caribbean, but let's just say in Haiti, how prevalent was education on African history, on what Africa was like before colonialism, so pre-colonial Africa, the countries, the tribes, how much history did you guys get growing up in the educational system, at least?
As far as African, so just for me personally, I went to a Haitian school for primary school. So everything was taught in French. I think they really heavily influenced Haitian history.
So not African history.
So not African histories. But we learned a lot about, some of the Haitian heroes growing up, people like Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, people like that, and how the slave revolution, but not really in general African history, if that makes sense.
So were there Africans... Of course, I'm sure they were Nigerians found their way to Haiti. I was going to ask, so what was your encounter with Africans? Is this just you saw them on TV, or there were a good number of Africans in Haiti?
There's not that many. I think I think the bad thing is that a lot of Haitians also get the same Western view of Africa sometimes.
So the stereotypes.
Yeah, the stereotypes. And sometimes it's just not their fault. I feel like it's what people see. But yeah, not that many. I feel like it's really when I moved to the US that I really got that interaction at first.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah, would you say it's the probably in general in the Caribbean that, you know, besides, let's say, if you're there for diplomatic reasons, you work for, you know, you're there on working for the government, African government, like what would Africans go do in the Caribbean? Yeah.
Unless you're like Rastafari.
unless you're on some expedition to be a Rasta, you know?
Or on vacation or something.
Or on vacation.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
A lot of Africans do go to the Caribbean though for vacation.
Yeah.
But that's different because vacation, Chris growing up in Haiti, you know, he's not meeting the African there on vacation.
Yeah,
for sure. Chris, what's your favorite type of Caribbean music?
My favorite type of Caribbean music? Caribbean music specifically? I like Haitian music, man.
Yeah. Tell us Haitian music.
So like, Chris has... What are we talking about?
So yeah.
What's the lady's name? That lady's name.
Niska, man.
That's the one, fam. Niska, she's nice.
So we have compa, that's our traditional music. To be honest, growing up, I didn't like it much. But as I got older, I start to appreciate my culture a little bit more. And now I just love it. You know, I listen to it all the time. But yeah, we have compa, we have zouk, we have this thing called tubadu. And then more recently, which is more like millennial music, we have this thing called rabodai.
It's called rabodai.
It's basically party music.
Oh, shoot.
It's basically party
bumper
music.
Bumper to bumper.
Yeah. It's what the millennials listen to nowadays.
What's the tone of the music? What's it like?
Man, it's kind of trending more towards like, so I think a lot of people, when they think of Caribbean music, dancehall and soca and reggae are usually the most popular. Mm-hmm. That's what comes to people's mind. And it's trending more towards that, to be honest. Like the dancehall type.
But they're singing in Creole, right?
Yeah, they're singing Creole. It's basically like, yeah, it's just party music. It's what they play at all the parties nowadays. So
okay, so would you think that there's a generalization of, let's say, Jamaican music and culture, and they just think do you get that when you tell people are from Haiti, they're gonna say a fact about Jamaica, or how do you feel?
Funny thing, right before I came today, I called up two of my guys, and one's from Bahamas and one's from Trini.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I asked them that question, both of them gave me the same answer. They all think we're Jamaican.
That's funny.
We listen to dance hall. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, even for me, that's a generalization, that like when people think of Caribbean, like that dance hall, that reggae, that's the first thing that comes to their mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say that for sure happens a lot.
Yeah, no, I think because we have our own stereotypes.
Uh-huh.
So, for me, like I said, Haiti, two things I knew of Haiti only growing up, before I met actual Haitians, you know, was, of course, the first Black nation, the revolution. And big thing, the second one is Haitian voodoo.
Ooh, okay.
That's one thing I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Haitian voodoo, you know, the dead people rise from graves.
Yeah.
You know, so I used to hear that. I'm like, these guys are exaggerating. But yeah, that was one of the big things
I'm glad you brought that up, because we recently watched a documentary on Haitian voodoo and how it started.
Yeah.
Now, this is the source I heard it from, right? Mm-hmm. It was started as a, what's the word? It basically, while the French were going out, the Haitians took like Catholicism and then like made not a mockery of it, but like they put their own like culture and modified like the Catholic like representations of whatever that saint is, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And made it into like what they call voodoo now, but it's not like. It's not like bad.
Let's ask a Haitian here. Chris, do you believe in Haitian voodoo? Is it true? Are the stories we hear, are they true?
Voodoo is a real thing. I think that it's part of, a lot of people will tell you it's part of Haitian culture.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, there is so many myths and I think things that are just not true.
Yeah,
That just surround the whole voodoo experience. And I think, so actually Joey Badass, he actually came out with a couple songs with some songs of days ago when he was telling you that, you know, like, we're scared of this, but we really shouldn't be scared because in a way it's part of our culture and like who we are. Yeah. It's like, so
Black
I think
magic.
That it's really part of our culture.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, yes, it's there, but I think there's a lot of things out there that are just myths.
I'm sure.
Like misconceptions around
misconceptions,
it.
Yeah.
You know what thing I always used to say, though, back in Africa? You can't pay me no money to spend the night at a graveyard in Africa, fam.
Yeah, me too.
So,
but why is that? Like,
what?
Why?
Would you spend a night at a graveyard back home in Uganda, Ivan?
I wouldn't.
For how much? What's your price?
No, I would not do it. But like, I don't know. Like, this is what I started to think, right? Is why are our like traditional religions and beliefs looked at as
I mean, it's instead of like your point is, you know, and we'll like, Chris, you can let us know here, because I want to hear about, you know, of course, like most countries, you know, in Haiti has been to a lot of hardships, but can I hear more about the music, the food, the culture?
Yeah.
I wish I heard those parts versus, you know, yes, it's the first independent black music, but, you know, there's a lot of voodoo there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that's what you're saying.
How do we educate ourselves more? And what's your take on that again?
As far as educating yourself more, just taking the initiative,
yeah.
Meeting the people, going out there, you know, like myself, whenever I want to learn more about any kind of African country, I go and speak to someone who's actually from that country. You know, I want to go to the motherland and visit. I think you just got to do the same thing. You got to take the initiative, you know, go visit, meet people from there, have these conversations. That's really the best way to learn, in my opinion.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about Haiti?
My favorite thing about Haiti? Oh, man, the food, the people, just the culture in general. There's just something about every time I go back, I'm sure you guys get that feeling. There's just a feeling about being in your motherland, you know, somewhere where you feel like you really belong. So yeah, I'd say for sure the food and the culture are two of my favorite things.
And all right, so this like, kind of like one of the first things he learned about Haiti, one of the first things I learned about Haiti was the Zos, right?
The Zos. So,
you know what I'm saying? They buddy's like, yeah, I'm so this. So, you know, I was like, ooh, what is a Zo? Like, what is a Zo?
So let me, okay. So there's a lot of Haitians in South Florida. A lot of
Jacksonville,
Haitians.
Right? A lot in Jacksonville?
Miami?
All over Florida, yeah. But especially in South Florida. You know, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
That's their capital. Don't they have little Haiti there?
Yeah, we have little Haiti there. Yeah. Lots of Haitians. So the Zo thing really started with a song this guy made. I forgot his name. You know, I'm a Zo. You guys have heard that song, right?
I think so.
I forgot his name. But yeah, that's how the whole Zo thing started. But it really wasn't popping off. You guys know what made it pop off?
What?
Kodak Black.
Kodak. Come on, fam.
Once Kodak that's became true, popular, all of a sudden it was, it was cool to be. Man. Yeah, shout out to Kodak. Because once he became popular, all of a sudden it was cool to be Haitian. Yeah. You know?
He did.
Really?
Yeah.
Think of it, Ivan. To be honest, when Kodak came up, I'm like, sure, you know.
Well, I think like maybe on the like the national scale, it became cool. But I had heard of Zos before Kodak.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't, to be honest. Kodak is my introduction.
To be honest, I know people who before Kodak started blowing up, they would never admit that they're Haitian. But as soon as Kodak is on the scene, you know, they have like a Haitian cousin, a Haitian uncle. Oh my gosh, I'm Haitian. You know, like that's how it was. So all of a sudden it became like a cool thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Haitians are heavy in just all facets of life.
And culture. Their culture is.
Oh yeah.
A lot of musicians.
The athletes.
A lot of politicians. Well, like historical politicians.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And what are some like prominent Haitians that we know of today that, you know, you're like, God, dope, he's my Zo.
Prominent Haitians you guys know of today. Well, one of the first things that comes up off the top of my head, she's half Haitian, but Naomi Osaka, you know, half Haitian,
best
half Japanese.
Ladies, woman tennis player in the world.
She's killing it right now. She's doing great. Who else? Lugans Dort.
Oh, you gonna claim Lou Dort? Come on, fam. You gotta say Jason Pierre Paul.
Yeah, JPP. Pierre Garçon.
Pierre Garçon.
There's a lot of names that come up. Yeah.
Oh boy.
What's again for Seahawks?
Jason Derulo, actually.
Jason Derulo.
Wyclef Jean.
Wyclef Jean.
Come on, Chris.
Old head.
You know.
Man say Lugans Dort.
Hey, we like Dort now. Anytime.
But yeah. Wyclef really put Wyclef, Haiti on the map.
Wyclef really put us on
the map. He really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wyclef Jean, that's Big guy.
Yes, sir.
And he performed at the World Cup that one year.
Was it the 2010 World Cup, right? Yeah. Man, best World Cup. Best World Cup. Best World Cup for us.
Without debate.
Yeah. Huh?
Without debate.
Without debate, yeah. Best one. If only one penalty went in.
No, let's not.
Scars. That's a whole other argument. Let me not bring back bad memories.
Yeah. Ghana, I should stop.
Yeah, let's just not talk about it.
What? So, all right. Now you know, you grew up in Florida, met Africans, all sorts of, you know, what, like, similarities and, like, parallels did you bridge between, like, Africans and like Caribbeans in general?
Oh man, so many similarities. I mean, listening to you guys' season one and two, I mean, I just felt like I could relate to everything you guys were saying. And that's why I love the podcast so much. I think the similarities are all there. The parents, of course. You know, doctor, lawyer, engineer.
Come on, standards.
Period, you know, nothing better.
Yeah.
The food, a lot of similarities in food, the culture, the music. Man, Afrobeats are actually really, really popular in Haiti right now, too.
Yeah.
But I think just the music in general. I remember when I was a kid, Magic System was really popular.
Oh, come on.
Super, super popular. Yeah. And, you know, the food is great. I mean, I love me some Fela Kuti.
Come on, fam.
Standards. So I feel like the similarities are really all there. There's differences, of course, because we have so much Western influence, I feel like, and there's a mix of so many different cultures. But, man, the similarities are all there for sure.
Maybe. I've got a few Haitians in my life, I feel like.
Look, personally, from knowing Chris, it felt like Chris could have grown up in Gambia. all I'm saying, pal. You know, that's one thing I resonated with so much is, you know, to be honest, it felt like upbringing-wise, values, culture, you know, to me, it seems the same, me and him, you know. We relate so much. And this is from when I even met him in college, you know, and even so far meeting other, you know, people from Caribbean, it's just a bit African. There's an easy connection that we have. So I do say there are a lot of similarities we have.
One of the Haitians that I follow right now that kills me is you know, Jessie Wu.
Oh, yeah, Jessie Wu. She's a joke.
Everything she, like, when she does her Haitian accent, you know, and she's talking about, like, just being Haitian or something around, like, your parents or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, bruv, this is, like, exactly. What, like, a Ugandan woman would say, just differently, you know?
Pretty much.
Yep.
Shout out to her, man. She's hilarious. I like her a lot. What about some differences?
Oh, man, some differences. Are we speaking Haitians in general or just Caribbean?
Whichever.
You can speak for whatever you're comfortable with,
Okay, some differences. I guess one thing that really, I remember one time I went to an Ethiopian restaurant and then I made a lot of Ethiopian friends. And I remember that was the first time I ever, like, we sat down and we all ordered our food and there was one big plate that came on the table.
Oh, injera?
Yeah, it was injera. Yeah. And I remember telling, like, yo, where's my plate? And they're like, no. So I think that's one of the differences. That was the first time I was, like, really introduced to that. But I thought, like, it was really cool. It was, like communal, it was, like, so communal, you know? Yeah, it felt like you were really building a bond with the people you're eating with. So taking it that other level. What else? I think that the way you guys have tribes, you know, we don't have any tribes.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
It's like, once you're Haitian, you're Haitian.
Yeah, you're Haitian. No. There's no tribes. I mean, you might come from a different part of the country, but you're still Haitian.
You're just Haitian.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the biggest things I think.
So there is no, like, discrimination in that sense?
Well,
some sort of, like, caste system?
Yeah.
I think colorism is a big problem anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. Not just in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a problem anywhere. So I think, yeah, if there's going to be that kind of thing, it's definitely colorism for sure a little bit, you know. Like,
Do Haitians, like, because I know in Jamaica, bleaching is a whole, like, industry.
Mm.
Do Haitians, like, do that a lot?
Or I don't think really? So, no. Yeah. We don't, there's not really, no. Not really, no.
Yeah. How about, like, the relationship between the DR and Haiti? What's that like?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's technically one island, right?
Yeah.
Man, I hear, like, mixed reports on that. Some there are some years where it's really bad. You hear a lot of Haitians, like, suffering over there, and, like, they're facing discrimination, and it's just not a great relationship at all. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes, you know, you hear good things. So I don't know. It's really it fluctuates, I'd say. between, you know, I think that sometimes when we get a lot of Haitians going over to DR, you know, Dominicans are sometimes not happy that, you know, that's happening and trying to take their job. So it's really the same thing as like, you know, like, oh, Mexicans coming into the U.S. I think it's kind of like a similar kind of thing. But yeah,
that's like the sentiment around it.
Yeah, kind of the sentiment.
Yeah. What are you saying, Uncle E?
No, you know, it's good to hear because that's something that I wasn't aware of or we don't think of a lot of times. It's, you know, relationships too in the Caribbean. It's the same thing with, you know, in Africa, how neighboring countries are always in dispute or always having issues. You know, it's the same thing in the Caribbean as well between Haiti and former Spanish. It's Spanish, right? That's what they speak in DR?
DR, Spanish.
So...
I think they just split the island in half, right? Yeah. It's like almost half.
Yeah, pretty much almost split in half, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What are you saying? Before we kind of wrap up, where'd you get that shirt?
This one?
Plug your tailor. Where'd you get it?
Oh, you're going to have to hit Big Bro up. It's, you know, he hooked me up with this one. But look at Chris, though, man.
That Chris coming in. I was going to get to that.
Come on, fam. Don't point at Chris. Come on, fam. He's ready for a trip to Banjul,
this
fam.
Shirt, it must have cost about $2,000.
Easily, fam.
You know what I'm saying?
Easily, fam.
Queen.
I can't give away my sources, man.
Come on.
Oh, do you guys also have, like, traditional wear?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we do, but only for like the carnival and things like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I see.
But not like, I don't think we really have that much everyday traditional wear.
There's a whole lot of, like, you know, Haitians along the East Coast and the carnival is like, well, that's all Caribbeans really.
But yeah.
I need to make it out there soon. Because these carnivals, the way they're looking.
Post-COVID, fam, you know, having. That's why you got to take that vaccine.
I told you I'm getting the vaccine. Joe Budden told me to get the vaccine.
It's a must, fam.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. What were you saying, Uncle E?
No, yeah, for sure. Like, this was good to hear what Chris had to hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been telling him now it's time for him to go back to the motherland. And finally experience that culture too as well.
For sure. I mean, so Chris is coming.
He's ready. First trip to Banjul, fam. Boys have been training him, fam.
Boys are ready.
Did you learn some Wolof yet?
Of course.
Shit.
What did you learn? Let us
come on, fam.
Come on now. Men's don't say to say nakam.
Yaiba, yaiba. Yaikul.
So I told you about my Uber driver in DC.
The Uber driver was Gambian?
Yeah. I was in DC and my Uber driver was from Gambia. And so you know, his license plate said Somita, right?
Somita?
Somita. So I was like, I see his name, it says Bakari. I was like, oh, he must be
Bakari,
Gambian.
Bakari. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, must be Gambian or Senegalese.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, Bakari, where are you from? And he was like, oh, I'm from the Gambia. And I was like, God.
Oh, he said the Gambia.
We already did. Yeah. And then I said, what tribe are you? And he said, I'm Jola. He was Jola. And then from there, it was easy breezy. Oh, you know what the first thing I said to him was?
What?
I said, Nagada. And then he said something back. I was like, no, nah, I'm not gonna hold you to it. But it was dope, man.
Man. I'm happy. It's great to hear because, like you said, you don't meet us. You know, although there are a lot of Gambians in that, you know, DMV area, but yeah, we're very uncommon to most Africans.
Yeah,
and the world in general.
So he told me to tell you what's up, which
okay,
I already did.
Okay, yeah.
Bakari,
my fellow Jola.
So
yeah,
Chris, who's our pioneer of the day today?
Yeah, today we wanted to give Chris the honors of highlighting a pioneer for us. So who you got? Well, we kind of told him who we want him to feature, but yeah.
Today's pioneer day is Toussaint Louverture.
How do I say it?
Louverture. I'll exclude myself from that.
You know what I'm saying?
He was a big leader during the slave revolution. He was one of the major generals, helped really bring the country together and organize us. He was really instrumental in us basically becoming the first free black nation. So.
And nice. what kind of leader was he?
He was one of the army generals.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was army general.
Mm-hmm. And I read about him a little bit, and fun, you know, sad, well, I don't want to call it a fun fact. Sad fact is, you know, he got in the end captured by the French, and he got basically extradited. Well, I don't, what's the word for it again? When they tried to do Pablo. Yeah. He got extradited to France. And then he was at some fort prison, and then, you know, that's where he passed away.
Mm. So, did they say how or no?
They said he had, like, he was sick, malnourished, all kinds of stuff. They basically didn't care about his.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just tells you the sacrifice that, you know, a lot of our ancestors took for freedom of their countries and their nation. So, yeah, we wanted to just feature him. He's an unsung hero, and, you know, we need to educate ourselves more on those type of people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Toussaint Louverture.
Exactly.
Toussaint Louverture.
Toussaint Louverture. Toussaint Louverture.
Man like Toussaint.
Toussaint. I'll just say a shout out to General Toussaint.
Saying, you know.
Yeah.
Man speaks the Francais. You heard?
So you got that, man.
I'm about to learn Creole now. So all my Zos. Nah, but hey.
Thank you, Chris, though, man. Thanks Chris for making it.
For pulling up.
Oh, yeah. You
know? On the boys. We didn't see our new, what is this? Jaguar.
We want a Haitian name for the Jaguar.
Yeah, can you bless him?
Yeah, yeah, bless him, fam.
We could call him Pierre.
Pierre. Yo, Pierre, you want to come outside?
We got my man's Pierre.
Come on, fam.
Out here with CP.
Pierre EP4? Yes, sir.
CP4?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
Yeah, yeah, CP4.
Copy.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. Chris, thank you, Chris. For joining
thank
us.
You guys. Yes. Thank you, guys.
If you still haven't liked, subscribed, shared, comment, your father. No, I'm just playing. Bye.
All right, guys.
Yeah, signing out.
Bye.